department of police and allow them to brief the Committee on the Private Security Industrial Regulation Amendment Bill. And without any waste of time, I'll hand over to them because there has been a lot of interaction between us and them. We know who's here and they know, except the lady next to Mr. Berger. She's the new member of the committee, Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much, Chief. I'm Philip Jacobs from Police Service Legal Services. To my right hand is Mr. Soman from the Police Secretariat. And next to him, Ms. Dawn Bell, also from the Secretariat of Police. Chair, then we have two representatives from Shira. I think they'll introduce themselves if you don't mind, sir, please.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members, honorable members. My name is Manabele Choke. I'm the director of Shira.
Good afternoon. My name is Howard Twani. I'm from Shira Legal Services.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have sent a lot of documents to the committee, but we think it will cover all the different aspects. And we will start off with the presentation, which is in a PowerPoint format. I can just firstly say that we got hold of the printed version of the bill, which was also made available to the committee, but I think it will be much easier to just for the first round to go through the presentation to refer broadly to the contents of the bill. Chair, it is this document, this presentation, that we will first work on. It's the Private Security Industry Regulation Bill. Yeah, that one. Thank you, Chair. We start with the background. The private security industry has grown tremendously over the past years since the establishment of CIRA. Government and civil society raised concerns about the effective regulation of the industry. Given the challenges of growth in the industry, the authority also raised concerns relating to the funding of the authority, which is wholly derived from the contributions of the private security industry. Concerns were also raised about the increasingly complex national security challenges post the 11 September 2001 events in the USA. The changing nature of the private security industry globally and developments that could impact on the security of states. And then also the potential or capability of elements operating in the private security industry to access sensitive information or threaten national security through access to firearms and information technology. As a developmental state, South Africa, in looking at its national security from a long-term perspective, needs a legislative framework that will also address such a potential or capability in a proactive manner by, amongst others, limiting the extent of foreign participation. The control by South African citizens of security companies is therefore necessary to this end, in addition to advancing the empowerment of South African citizens in the private security industry. Chair, the challenges of the private security industry manifested themselves in many ways, which included the lack of adequate resources, which compromised effective regulation, the lack of proper accountability for firearms in the possession of members of the private security industry, security services rendered outside the Republic by South African security companies. Chair, here I must refer to the mercenary legislation that served a number of years before in 2006, before the Defence Portfolio Committee, and where the Defence Committee specifically asked us to look at this issue in terms of amendments of the CIRA legislation. And then criminality within the private security industry. Regarding the response to challenges, as a result of the concerns and challenges, the tightening of the South African regulatory framework for the private security industry became necessary. The call for the review of the Act was also affirmed by government's strategic plan to build a developmental state in order to ensure that every citizen feels and is safe. Drawing from the valuable lessons of the application and implementation of the current private security regulatory regime, as informed by the Act and the policy formulated relating to the industry, the draft Shira bill. This bill was abused. On 30 May 2012, the Cabinet approved the bill for introduction in Parliament. In addition to consultations before the bill was approved for introduction in Parliament by Cabinet, the Portfolio Committee on Police invited public comments on the bill and initiated further interdepartmental consultations. Public hearings were held by the Portfolio Committee, which elicited valid bill input into the bill. Chair, I believe copies are made for the committee of a document which is a summary of the proposals that were made to the Portfolio Committee relating to the initial bill that was introduced. Chair, regarding the objects of the bill seeks to strengthen control over the regulation of the private security industry, including security services rendered from South Africa to other countries. The long title of the bill, to amend the Private Security Industry Regulation Act, so as to amend certain definitions, to provide for additional powers of the Minister, to provide for the appointment of the Director and Deputy Directors for the Authority, to provide for cooperation with the Civilian Secretariat for Police, to provide for the finances and accountability of the Authority, to provide for limitation on foreign ownership, to provide for the establishment and functions of the Exemption Advisory Committee, to regulate security services rendered outside the Republic, to empower the Minister to make regulations for the transportation of cash and other valuables, to provide for offences and penalties, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Clause 1 of the bill amends a number of definitions and also insert some definitions. Firstly, to align the definitions for company, Ladies Act, locksmith, minister, governor of state, security business, security officer, and security service in the Act with new developments, and also to insert definitions for National Treasury and Public Finance Management Act. To provide the respect of the changed status of the authority as a public entity, as well as a definition for the Civilian Secretariat of Police. The definition of National Commissioner is deleted. The clause also removes the power of the Minister to grant exemptions from the definition section and transport this power to Section 20 of the Act with an insertion of a new clause 20A in the bill that relates to the establishment of an Exemption Advisory Committee. Clause 2 substitutes Section 2 of the Principal Act and deletes Subsection 2 pertaining to the Head Office of the Authority to be situated in Pretoria. Clause 3 proposes to substitute Section 3 of the Principal Act that provides for the objects of the Authority by deleting certain objects and rearranging retained objects in clusters to provide for a logical sequence. Clause 4 amends Section 4 of the Principal Act that deals with the functions of the Authority by deleting paragraphs E to II and substituting it with the new paragraphs E to A. Clause 5 of the bill amends Section 5 of the Principal Act by inserting a new Section 5 to A that provides for the Public Finance Management Act to apply to the Council, and the proposed Section 6, subsection 6, for the Minister of Police to mediate where Council is unable to agree on the financial governance and operational issues. Clause 6 amends Section 6 of the Principal Act by providing that the Minister of Police must give consideration to appointing members to the Council who are fit and proper persons with experience, conscientiousness and integrity to be entrusted with the responsibilities of the office concerned, and collectively must have certain qualifications, experience and skills in the fields of finance, law and governance. Clause 7 proposes amendments to Section 7 of the Principal Act to delete the reference to permanent residence status, allowing only for citizens of the Republic to be appointed as a councillor. Clause 8 amends Section 8 of the Principal Act by increasing the maximum period of the appointment of a member of council from 3 to 5 years and for the members to serve on a part-time basis. Reappointment of members of the council may only be for a period not exceeding 2 years. It also provides for the Minister of Police to be informed whenever a member of council becomes subject to a disqualifying factor or absence from 3 consecutive meetings. Vacancies on the council must be filled within 6 months from the date on which the vacancy occurred. The council is responsible for all legitimate costs of council, including the remuneration for a council secretary. Clause 9. It amends Section 9 of the Principal Act by providing that the council must maintain a working and cooperative relationship with the civilian secretariat on policing and policy matters relating to the private security industry. It furthermore provides for the appointment of a council secretary and the functions of such secretary. Clause 10 amends Section 10 of the Principal Act by deleting paragraphs A to insert subsection 1A, which deals with the accountability of the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority, the Council. The clause seeks to provide for the accountability of the Council to the Minister of Police and quarterly reporting of information in connection with its functions and the submission of certain compulsory information. Clause 11 amends Section 11 of the Principal Act by empowering the Minister to take corrective measures when there is no appointed Council and for the Minister to make an interim appointment to ensure continuity of the affairs of the authority. Clause 12 amends Section 12 of the Principal Act by providing that Council must meet at least once every quarter and that the Chairperson must convene a special meeting when so directed by the Minister. Clause 13 substitutes subsections 1 and 2 of Section 13 relating to the appointment of ad hoc committees by the Council and provides for the remuneration of such committees and the report to the Minister on the appointment of committees. The Council must establish committees representing different sectors in the private security industry. Clause 14 amends Section 14 of the Principal Act by providing that the Council must appoint the Director and Deputy Directors of the Authority in consultation with the Minister. The clause also seeks to provide for the Director to perform his or her functions in terms of the Public Finance Management Act and prepare strategic and annual performance plans in accordance with the Public Finance Management Act. The clause also seeks to delete references to Deputy Directors in Section 14.2. Clause 15 inserts a new Section 14A in the Act, providing for disqualifications for appointment as Director and Deputy Directors. Clause 16 deletes Section 15 of the Principal Act that dealt with delegation of powers and assignment of duties by Council. Clause 17 proposes a substitution of Section 16, providing for the funding model of the authority. The clause provides that the authority is financed from levies or monies that have accrued to it in terms of the Principal Act and any monies that may be appropriated by Parliament, where this is necessary, appropriate and justifiable. Council is the accounting authority and is subject to the Public Finance Management Act. Clause 18 seeks to insert Section 16A in the Principal Act. The insertion provides for the Council to submit an annual report to the Minister in terms of Section 55(1)(b) of the Public Finance Management Act and for the Minister to table a copy of the annual report, financial statements and audited statements to Parliament. It also provides for the publication of the annual report, financial statements and audit report once tabled in Parliament in a medium accessible to the public. Clause 19 seeks to delete Sections 17, 18 and 19 from the Principal Act. The appeal sections deal with the auditing and financial year end of the authority, which are adequately covered by the Public Finance Management Act. Chairperson, regarding Clause 20, it amends Section 20 of the Principal Act by providing that the security business may not use the services of a person who is not registered in terms of the Principal Act to render a security service. The clause also provides for the Minister to have regard to the recommendations of the Exemption Advisory Committee when making decisions on applications for exemptions. The clause further deals with the issue of foreign ownership in the private security industry. Provides for a limitation on the extent of participation in a private security business in South Africa. Item 15 of the transitional provisions in the bill will address the existing rights of foreign participants who exceed the proposed statutory limitation on shareholding in a private security business in South Africa. All new applications for registration as a security service provider will, however, be required to comply with the provisions of this clause once it becomes law. Clause 21 inserts a new section 20A in the Act that establishes the Exemption Advisory Committee and provides for its composition, functions and procedures by the insertion of section 28 to the Principal Act. Clause 22 amends section 21 of the Principal Act, which deals with application for registration as a security service provider. The clause provides for new requirements for documents required for registration as a security officer. Submission of a certified copy of a valid South African identity document is inserted as a new requirement. Clause 23, it inserts a new section 21A by providing for the respective categories under which the authority may register a security business. It also provides that the minister may, by notice in the Gazette, determine additional categories of security businesses. Clause 24, substitute section 22 of the Principal Act, providing for the renewal of registration by security service providers. Clause 25 amends section 23 of the Principal Act by deleting the discretion to register natural persons who have previous criminal convictions and by providing for the submission of information by security businesses of information pertaining to the relevant categories of security businesses. Clause 26 provides for the amendment of section 26 of the Principal Act and proposes additional requirements for suspension of the registration of security businesses to ensure compliance with the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act of 2000. Reporting suspensions and withdrawals of registration to the Minister and inclusion of particulars relating to suspensions and withdrawals in the annual report of the authority. It furthermore requires the publication of a notice in the Gazette regarding the lapsing of the registration of security service providers and also inclusion of details thereof in the annual report of the authority. Clause 27 proposes the deletion in section 28 of the Principal Act of the provisions which make the code of conduct applicable to non-registered security service providers. Clause 28 provides for the amendment of section 30 of the Principal Act to ensure that an appeal committee can be established on a continuous but part-time basis and be appointed for a period not exceeding 3 years on such terms and conditions as the minister may determine. The minister is empowered to provide in regulations for the procedure in connection with the lodging and prosecution of an appeal. Clause 29 provides for the amendment of section 31 of the Principal Act, which relates to the appointment of a person to assist an inspector with a particular inspection. Clause 30, Chair, provides for the amendment of section 32 of the Principal Act to require that the authority must include information on any penalties imposed under section 3 in the annual report. Clause 31 amends section 34 of the Principal Act by requiring for inspections of private dwellings to be carried out with a warrant issued by a competent court. Clause 32 amends section 35 of the Principal Act, which sets out the matters in respect of which the minister may make regulations. It seeks to provide for additional powers of the minister to make regulations in relation to the procedures for the suspension, withdrawal and lapsing of registration. Information to be furnished to the authority by security service providers operating outside the Republic and minimum standards for security service providers responsible for transportation of cash and other valuable assets. Guidelines in respect of insignia, emblem, title or symbol used by security service providers. Guidelines in relation to the governance of the authority. And then the maximum term of imprisonment that may be provided for contravention of the regulations has been increased from 24 months to 5 years. So in respect of clause 33, it amends section 36 of the Act. The clause seeks to provide for the authority to inform the Registrar of Firearms under the Firearms Control Act 2000 of any change or reason that would necessitate the licensing, relicensing or disposal of firearms in the possession of security service providers. I can just mention, Chair, that in many instances where the ownership has transferred from one company to another, that this issue about the proper regulation of firearms went wrong, and companies were using firearms whereas they were not registered at that stage already with the new companies or under the new owner's name. It furthermore provides for the submission of a list upon request of the authority to the authority of all firearms registered to a particular security service provider. It places an obligation on the authority to report to Parliament in respect of information provided to the authority by the registrar of firearms. Clause 34 inserts section 36A in the Act. This new section provides for the regulation of security services rendered outside the Republic by the authority. The clause also provides for any person who is employed by another person from outside the Republic and is deployed from the Republic to perform armed guard duties outside the Republic to inform the authority of such deployment and for the authority to inform the South African police service. Chair, then Clause 35 amends Section 38 of the Act, which deals with offences and penalties. The clause seeks to provide for additional offences and penalties in relation to convictions for offences as contemplated in the new Section 36A, as well as to increase sentences for certain offences. Penalties are provided for natural persons as well as for juristic persons. Clause 36 provides for the division of Section 39 of the Principal Act that deals with extraterritorial application of the Act and jurisdiction. Clause 37 provides for the division of Section 41 of the Principal Act that deals with delegation of powers by the Minister. Chair, Clause 38 provides for the insertion of Section 44A in the Principal Act, dealing with transitional matters relating to the implementation of the Private Security Industry Regulation Amendment Act 2030. Clause 39 proposes the amendment of the table of offences listed in the schedule to the Principal Act. And then, Chair, Clause 40 provides for the amendment of the schedule to the Principal Act. Clause 41 for the substitution of the long title of the Principal Act. Clause 42 for insertions into the preamble of the Principal Act. And lastly, Clause 43 for the short title and commencement of the Private Security Industry Regulation Amendment Act 2030. Chair, regarding departments, bodies consulted, there's the whole list there: SSG, Operational Risk Services, Locksmiths Association of South Africa, African Policing Civilian Oversight Forum, Solace Protection Services, South African Intruder Detection Services Association, Control Risk South Africa, Security Industry Alliance, the American Chamber of Commerce, AT Security Limited, Country South Africa, and Safer South Africa Foundation. Portfolio Committee and Police held extensive public hearings on the bill, and further consultations were also held with the Department of Trade and Industry, in particular about the limitation of foreign ownership provided for in the bill. Chair, as I've said, there's a summary of all the submissions that were made to the Portfolio Committee. Chair, relating to financial implications, the proposed amendments might require investment of revenue in respect of the authority. The bill provides that the authority is financed from A, registration fees, levies or monies from any legitimate source which have accrued to the authority in terms of the Act, the Levies Act or any other law. I can just mention, Chair, that the Levies Act, although it was adopted in 2002, has not been put into operation. So the idea is that that Act must come into operation in tandem with the implementation of the Amendment Act. Then the money that may be appropriated by Parliament when necessary, appropriate and justifiable. Chair, as was said in the Portfolio Committee, it is not that automatically CIRA will be entitled to financing from Parliament's side. But if there is a case made out of necessity, appropriateness and justifiability, it is possible that Parliament might make a contribution to the finances of CIRA. The major cost drivers will be in the following areas: the funding of the authority, capacity building, the exemption committee that must be established, and the renewal of registration. Chair, I know it's very cursory and going through the amendments as such sometimes very confusing with an amendment act, We have prepared a document which we in the committee indicate we can go through, where we actually took the existing act. It is this one, and we really put in colour the actual amendment, so that if you read this document, you will see what is the context of the exact amendments, Chair. Chair, I will first stop there and then get guidance from the committee on how to deal with the rest of the documents. But as I said, I think a lot of questions that might arise now, because we went very quickly through the proposed amendments, might be addressed after we go clause by clause and see the actual amendments within the context of the present act. Thank you, Chair.
I think we can proceed with the other document.
Chair, then we'll proceed. Chair, just a note, we noticed that the copies that were made for the committee were not in colour, but I don't think it will make a huge difference, because it's basically just showing the new text that's been inserted. So, Chair, if I can start with that coloured document. On page 2, you will see...
Honourable members, have you got the document? There's this one.
Thank you, Chair. If we can go to page 2 of that document. We refer to clause 41. The reason why we start off with this is in terms of the sequence of the bill. You will find the amendment to the long title in clause 41 of the bill. And it is proposed that the long title of the Principal Act, that the existing act, is hereby substituted for the following long title: to provide for the regulation of the private security industry, for that purpose to establish a regulatory authority, and then to insert, to provide for the appointment of the director and deputy directors for the authority, to provide for cooperation with the civilian secretariat for police, to provide for the finances and accountability of the authority, to provide for limitations on foreign ownership, to provide for the establishment and functions of the Exemption Advisory Committee, to regulate security services rendered outside the Republic, to empower the Minister to make regulations for the transportation of cash and other valuables, to provide for offences and penalties, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Chair, so that is a proposal, that is how the long title of the Principal Act should read after the amendments. The next is the long title of the Private Security Regulation Amendment Bill. Now, that is only the long title of the bill. And it reads to amend the Private Security Industry Regulation Act 2001 so as to amend certain definitions, to provide for additional powers of the Minister, to provide for the appointment of the Director and Deputy Directors for the Authority, to provide for cooperation with the Civilian Secretariat for Police, to provide for the finances and accountability of the authority, to provide for limitation on foreign ownership, to provide for the establishment and functions of the Exemption Advisory Committee, to regulate security services rendered outside the Republic, to empower the Minister to make regulations for the transportation of cash and other valuables, to provide for offences and penalties, and to provide for matters connected therewith. I want to hear whether I should continue with the whole text, or would you want to look at the respective sections as we finalize it?
No, 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 no.
Thank you, Chief. So in respect of the preamble, you will find that in clause 42 of the bill, the preamble to the Principal Act is hereby amended by the insertion before the first paragraph of the following: whereas national security is paramount and needs to be approached in a holistic and proactive manner, and whereas it is essential that the private security industry operates in a manner that contributes to the safety and security of communities, and in particular consumers of private security services, but also in a manner that does not prejudice or threaten national security. And then the substitution for the first paragraph of the following, and that is basically to add the "and" there: and whereas the adequate protection of fundamental rights to life and security of a person, as well as the right not to be deprived of property, is fundamental to the well-being and to the social and economic development of every person. So I can just say that where you see the text that has been amended, where it's underlined, it's insertions into the present text, and where it's in square brackets and in bold, it is deletions from the present text of the Act. So the next amendment is on page 5. That relates only to the issue of the index. On page 5, you will see clause 40. The index to the Principal Act is hereby amended: A, by the insertion after item 14 of the following item, 14A, disqualifications for appointment as director and deputy directors. 40B, by the deletion of item 15. C, by the substitution for item 16 of the following item, 16, funds is deleted, and then finances of authority. D, by the insertion after item 16 of the following item, 16A, annual report. E, by the deletion of item 17, 18, and 19. Chair, and then is inserted 20A, Exemption Advisory Committee. On page 6, if by the insertion after item 20 of the following item, 20A, the Exemption Advisory Committee. G, by the insertion after item 21 of the following item, 21A, categories of security businesses. Here on page 7, H, that is under chapter 6, by the insertion after item 36 of the following item, 36A, security services rendered outside the public. I, by the deletion of items 39 and 41, extraterritorial application of the Act and jurisdiction, that is deleted, 41, delegation of powers by the Minister, is deleted. In J, on page 8, by the insertion after item 44 of the following item, 44A, transitional provisions relating to the Private Security Industry Regulation Amendment Act 2030. Chair, when it comes to the definitions, on page 8, amendment of section 1 of Act 56 of 2001, clause 1, section 1 of the Private Security Industry Regulation Act 2001, herein often referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended: A, by the insertion after the definition of business trust of the following definition: civilian secretariat means the national civilian secretariat for the police service, established in terms of section 4.1 of the Civilian Secretariat for the Police Service Act 2011, Act No. 2 of 2011. B, by the substitution for the definition of company of the following definition: company means a company within the meaning of the Companies Act 1973, Act No. 61 of 1973, and we are inserting there the new Act number 2008, Act No. 71 of 2008. C, by the insertion after the definition of inspector of the following definition: Levies Act means the Private Security Industry Levies Act 2002, Act No. 23 of 2002. D, by the substitution for the definitions of locksmith and minister of the following definitions: locksmith means a person including an apprentice employed by a locksmith. And that was specifically on recommendation of the specific association, who for the benefit of another person engages in any activity or business which is related to A, designing and managing master key systems, B, installing, maintaining, repairing and changing the combinations of safes, vaults and safety deposit boxes, C, maintaining key code records, D, cutting keys and duplicating existing keys, or E, opening, closing or engaging of locking mechanisms of any nature by means of a specialized device in any manner. The definition of minister is amended. Minister means the member of the cabinet responsible for policing. And E, by the division of the definition of national commissioner. F, by the insertion after the definition of national commissioner of the following definition. National Treasury means the National Treasury established by Section 5 of the Public Finance Management Act. G, by the substitution for the definition of organ of state of the following definition. Organ of state means an organ of state as defined in Section 239 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, but does not include the security services referred to in Section 199 of the Constitution. So then we can go to page 12, paragraph H. By the insertion after the definition of property of the following definition, the Public Finance Management Act means the Public Finance Management Act 1999, Act number 1 of 1999. I, by the substitution for the definition of security business of the following definition, security business means subject to section 20 brackets 5, any person who renders a security service to another for remuneration, reward, fee or benefit, except a person acting only as a security officer. Here on page 13, paragraph J, by the substitution for paragraph A of the definition of security officer of the following paragraph. A, 1, who is employed by another person, including an organ of state subject to section 21A and B, and who receives or is entitled to receive from such other person any remuneration, reward, fee or benefit for rendering one or more security services, or 2, who assists in carrying on or conducting the affairs of another security service provider, and who receives or is entitled to receive from such other security service provider or any other person any remuneration, reward, fee or benefit as regards one or more security services. Chair on page 14, K, by the substitution for paragraph E of the definition of security service of the following paragraph, manufacturing, assembling, processing, selling, purchasing or advertising of listed equipment contemplated in section 1 of the regulation of interception of communications and provision of communication related information act 2002, act number 70 of 2002, authorized by the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development under section 45(2) and section 46(1)(a)(2) of that act. JL on page 15, by the substitution for paragraphs K and L of the definition of security service of the following paragraphs. K, making a person or the services of a person available, whether directly or indirectly, for the rendering of any service referred to in paragraphs A to J, L and LA to another person. L, managing, controlling or supervising the rendering of any of the services referred to in paragraphs A to J and LA. Then paragraph M is the insertion of the following after paragraph L of the definition of security service of the following paragraph. LA, protecting or safeguarding of cash or goods with a high value, including precious metals or jewelry, when transported on a public road, except when transported by a person at his or her own account, or by the South African National Defence Force in the case of transport my escort officers, that's the police, some of the police service. On page 16, M, by the substitution for paragraph M of the definition of security service of the following paragraph. M, creating the impression in any manner that one or more of the services in paragraphs A to LA are rendered. O, by the substitution for the definition of security service provider of the following definition. Security service provider means a person who renders a security service to another for remuneration, reward, fee or benefit, and includes such a person who is not registered as required in terms of this act. In paragraph P, the bottom of page 16, by the division of subsection 2. And as I said here, this subsection is just shifted to another section in terms of logic sequence of the book. On page 17, chapter 2, the substitution of section 2 of Act 56 of 2001, clause 2, the following section is hereby substituted for section 2. It is just to take out the numbering, the number 1, and then to delete subsection 2. The head office of the authority is situated in Pretoria. Chair, at the moment I think the head office is situated already in Pretoria, and it's really a problem to have a clause like this in a bill that limits you in terms of municipal area where they actually, especially in Pretoria, Gauteng area, they are actually flowing one into the other. Regarding objects of the authority, it's amendment of Section 3 of Act 56 of 2001. The principal act is hereby amended by the substitution for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. The primary objects of the authority are to regulate the private security industry and to exercise effective control over the practice of the occupation of security service provider in the public and national interest, and for that purpose, subject to this act, two, and then here you will see that we have deleted paragraphs A to Q on the next page, and it is substituted by the following paragraphs, A, that is on page 19. A is to ensure a legitimate private security industry, which one, acts in terms of the principles contained in the Constitution and other applicable law. Two, is characterized by ethical conduct, accessibility, accountability, transparency, equity, professionalism and stability. And three, protects and serves the interests of members of the public who use or are affected by the security services. B, determine and enforce minimum standards of occupational conduct in respect of security service providers. C, ensure that the process of registration of security service providers is transparent, fair, objective and completed timely. D, promote high and uniform standards in the training of security service providers and prospective security service providers. E, promote the protection and enforcement of the rights of security officers and other employees in the private security industry. Then F, on page 20, ensure that compliance with existing legislation by security service providers is being promoted and controlled through a process of active monitoring and investigation of the affairs of security service providers. And G, promote awareness amongst the public and the private security industry on the functions and the role of the authority in the industry. Chair, amendments to Section 4 of the Principal Act, page 20. Section 4 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution for paragraphs B and C of the following paragraphs. B, is inquired into and report to the Minister through the Council on any matter concerning the objects of the authority. C, advise the Minister through the Council on any matter deemed by the authority to be necessary or expedient to be considered by the Minister in connection with the provisions of this Act or the Levies Act or the application thereof, and on any other matter relating to security services which has been referred by the Minister to the authority for the advice and recommendations of the authority. Chair, on page 21, by the substitution for paragraphs E to II of the following paragraphs, you will see that the existing paragraphs are deleted. Also on page 22 and on page 23 up to page 24, II, and what is instead is paragraph E, receive and consider applications for registration and renewal of registration as security service provider and grant or renew registration to applicants who comply with the requirements for such registration or renewal of registration in terms of this Act. F, establish and manage offices for the authority in every province. G, on page 25, provide or disseminate information promoting and encouraging compliance with this Act, the Levies Act and the Conduct Code of Conduct by security service providers. H, provide information to the users, prospective users or representatives of users of security services regarding the compliance of security service providers with the provisions of this Act and the Levies Act. I, in the prescribed manner, establish a complaints office to receive, process, refer or deal with complaints regarding unlawful or unethical conduct by security service providers. J, determine, charge and collect fees as provided for in this Act or in respect of any service rendered by the authority or any object made available by the authority. K, determine minimum internal control systems for security businesses, including but not limited to accounting and reporting procedures and other procedures or systems. L, conduct or cause to be conducted hearings, investigations and inquiries with regard to any matter falling within the scope of its functions. M, enter into agreements with or obtain the assistance of any department or organ of state to conduct or assist in conducting any investigation or performing any other function in terms of this Act or the Levies Act, and N, take such steps as may be necessary or expedient or necessary in connection with the training of security service providers and prospective security service providers to ensure a high quality of training, and in particular with regard to Roman 1, the accreditation and withdrawal of the accreditation of persons and institutions providing security training. 2, the monitoring and auditing of the quality of training functions performed by accredited persons. 3, the participation in the activities of other bodies or persons entitled by law to set standards in respect of training of security service providers or bodies entitled to formulate, implement or monitor skills development plans for the private security industry. 4, the appointment of persons to monitor and access achievements or outcomes in respect of standards applicable to training. 5, the determination and accreditation of qualifications required by security service providers to perform particular types of security services. And 6, the taking of reasonable steps to verify the authenticity of training certificates presented by persons for the purposes of this Act. Chair, relating to section 5, page 26, clause 5, section 5 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the insertion of the following subsection after subsection 2. 2A, the Public Finance Management Act applies to the Council and the Authority. Chair, that is basically as a result of the change of the authority to a public entity, that has become necessary. B, by the substitution for subsection 4 of the following subsection, the authority must otherwise perform its functions in terms of this Act, the Levies Act, and the Public Finance Management Act. C, by the substitution for subsection 5 of the following subsection, 5A, the authority must perform its functions in accordance with such guidelines and policy directions as may be issued by the Minister from time to time by notice in the Gazette. E, a guideline or policy direction issued by the Minister in terms of this section may be amended, withdrawn or substituted by the Minister by notice in the Gazette. D, by the addition of the following subsection, 6, whenever members of the Council are unable to agree on a material, financial, governance or operational issue, which cannot be resolved by the council. The minister must mediate between the parties. Chair, on page 28, the amendment of section 6 of the Act, clause 6. Section 6 of the Principal Act is hereby amended A by the insertion of the number of the 6, number 1, and then by the insertion of the following subsections. Subsection 2, subject to section 7, a member of the council for the authority must be a fit and proper person with due regard to his or her experience, conscientiousness and integrity to be entrusted with the responsibilities of the office concerned. Subsection 3, the members of the council must, when viewed collectively by persons who are suited to serve on the council by virtue of their qualifications, experience and expertise in the fields of finance, law and governance. And subsection 4, the minister must report to Parliament on the appointment of councillors as well as their qualifications, experience and expertise. On page 29, Chair, the amendment of section 7 is hereby amended A by the substitution for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A is not a citizen, then it is deleted or does not have permanent resident status. In other words, it reads not a citizen of the Republic. B by the deletion of paragraph C. C by the substitution for paragraphs D and E of the following paragraphs. E is an unrehabilitated insolvent. E has not obtained such a security clearance by the State Security Agency as may have been determined by the Minister. Or F has been convicted of a criminal offence or will be subject to a pending criminal prosecution. Page 30, Chair, amendment of Section 8 by Clause 8. Section 8 is hereby amended A by the substitution for subsections 1 and 2 of the following. 8.1, a councillor is subject to this section, appointed for a period not exceeding 5 years on such terms and conditions as the minister may determine in a letter of appointment, provided that all members of the council serve on a part-time basis. Subsection 2, a councillor is eligible for reappointment upon the expiry of his or her term of office for a period not exceeding 2 years if he or she continues to meet the requirements for such appointment in terms of this Act. B, by the deletion in subsection 3 of the word or at the end of paragraph C and by the insertion of the word or at the end of paragraph D and the addition of the following paragraph. He or she is no longer fit and proper person as required in section 6.2 and C by the insertion of the subsection 3 of the following subsection 3A, when a councillor becomes subject to any disqualification referred to in section 7 or is absent from 3 consecutive meetings of the council. A chairperson, vice chairperson or acting chairperson contemplated in section 12.10, as the case may be, must inform the minister in writing within a reasonable time, but before the next meeting of council or such disqualification or absence. On page 31D, by the substitution for subsections 5 and 6 of the following, 5, if a councillor ceases to hold office, the minister must, with due regard to sections...
Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm not sure if this going through by the Honourable is worth everything to us. There's changes made and we'll have to read it, but don't know if it will help us to understand the legislation better. I think I'm asking if we can't go and just mention certain outstanding changes or if possible. I'm asking the question. I don't want to interrupt this meeting, but I'm looking around and I'm not sure if anybody's taking in anything. Thank you.
Jesse? Yes, Chair, I agree with that. I think it must the critical issues within this bill, if you can zoom in on that, Chair, and explain to us that, what's that purpose? Because, Chair, we'll be sitting here, Chair, and we will not be able to go through this whole thing
that are going to be being unjust to ourselves and to this bill. The critical issues which they think and have heard, which they came from the PC, they've heard what the other people have said. What are the critical issues? Maybe we can ask questions on that, Chair. If they can just explain to us that, it will be much better. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Mr. Mande.
You see, Chair, inconsistency is a very dangerous thing. These members agreed to a position earlier. Now they are disrupting a process that is going on. They are saying they can't, and it's JJ who does this. He asked this old man to speak on his behalf. But let us mention, you see, there is no other way. Members of the committee must work hard through this. But if they feel that it's not helping them, I hope they will come well read next time, because they have that tennis not to reach. So JJ must commit and commit on Jacques that they will come ready next time and prepare knowing what they want to say. Otherwise, they are the ones who next time they're going to be saying they don't understand the bill, it's complicated. And this is meant to assist us so that we are able to already understand their indicators to some aspects of the bill, but so that by next time, because we have a short schedule for this bill, the time is quite limited. So as long as they take commitment to that, so, but I was just raising the point that it's not always good to change a process once you've started with this.
Page 31E is the division of subsection 7, and F by the addition of the following subsection 8, the authority is responsible for all legitimate costs of council, including remuneration for the council secretary. Page 32, clause 9, is amended by the substitution for the heading of the section. It will read now functions of council, chairperson and secretary. D, by the substitution in paragraph C of subsection 1 for the words preceding subparagraph of the following. C, must in consultation with the minister by noticing the Gazette make rules subject to the provisions of this Act, the Levies Act and the Public Finance Management Act. C, by the insertion of the subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1A, in formulating the rules referred to in subsection 1C, cognizance must be taken of the principles relating to improvement of service delivery, quality of training and integrity as applicable to the public administration. D, by the revision in subsection 2 of paragraph 8. E, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph D of the following. D, must provide strategic direction to the authority through the council. F, by the division in subsection 2 of paragraph E and substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph F of the following. F, must maintain a working relationship with the civilian secretariat to cooperate on policing and policy matters referred to the private security industry. G, by the addition of the following subsection, EA. The council must, after obtaining the advice of the Department of Public Service and Administration, and in consultation with the minister, appoint a suitably qualified person to act as council secretary. B, on page 34, the council secretary must be accountable to the chairperson and the council. C, the council secretary must manage any administrative matters and the correspondence of the council, and any committee appointed in terms of section 31 or established in terms of section 32, including 1, acting as a link and liaising between the council and the authority. 2, facilitating communications between AA, council and the authority. BD, council and the minister, and CC, council and parliament. 3, developing rules for the council and ensuring compliance with legislation by the council. 4, assisting the council in the development of its annual plan. 5, providing administrative support to the council in the preparation of all reports and other documentation of the council. 6, preparing the agenda and all documents for the council meetings.
7, taking minutes and keeping records of all decisions of the council. 8, facilitating and providing relevant advice required by the council. 9, facilitating the submission of reports and other documents of the authority to council. And 10, executing any other task assigned by the council. Clause 10 amends Section 10 of the Principal Act by the substitution of subsection 1. 1, the council is accountable to the minister for the performance of its functions and must supply the minister with such information and particulars as the minister may in writing require in connection with the functions of the authority or any other matter relating to the authority. Then B is deleted, C is deleted, Chair. Then paragraph B, that's marked by the insertion of the following subsection after subsection 1. 1A, the council must submit a report to the minister, A, on any matter required by the minister under subsection 1, and on any matter necessary or expedient to bring to the attention of the minister, and B, at least once a quarter in connection with the activities of the authority, including Roman 1, the number of security service providers registered, sold, transferred, liquidated, suspended, dormant, merged, deaccredited, and prosecuted. 2, the number of security officers registered including category and functions. 3, the details of training undertaken by registered security officers and training institutions. 4, the number of training institutions registered, sold, transferred, liquidated, suspended and dormant. 5, the number of firearms registered to, lost by, stolen from, transferred by security businesses or destroyed in terms of the Firearms Control Act. 6, instances in which firearms were discharged by a security officer in the performance of his or her duties causing death or injury. 7, information of criminal complaints and investigations relating to security service providers reported to the service by the authority. 8, the number of meetings of the council. 9, the report in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. And 10, a monthly report on AA, the financial performance of the authority. BB, any deposits or withdrawals relating to any investment account of the authority and the reasons therefore. The Chair, the division of subsection 2, comes to clause 11, it's the amendment of section 11 by the substitution for the word preceding paragraph A of the following words. 11, if the council or the authority cannot or does not maintain an acceptable standard in the fulfillment of one or more of its functions in terms of this Act, the Levies Act and the Public Finance Management Act, the minister may intervene by taking any appropriate step to ensure proper fulfillment of that function, including issuing a directive to the council, and A and B is the existing words of the Act. B, the substitution in paragraph B of subparagraph 2 of the following. 2, to prevent the council, the authority or any other person appointed by council or the authority from taking any action which is prejudicial to the objects of the authority. Page 38, by the addition of the following paragraphs after paragraph C, D, taking such corrective measures as required by the circumstances in the period whilst there is no appointed council, and E, the interim appointment of a person or persons meeting the requirements contemplated in section 6.2 to ensure the continuity of the affairs of the authority, provided that the interim appointment may not exceed 6 months. Page 38, clause 12, section 12 is amended, A, by the addition in subsection 1 of the following paragraph, after B, the council must meet at least once every quarter, B, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph A of the following, 2A, the chairperson may at any time convene a special meeting of the council. And then on page 39, Chair, C, by the addition in subsection 2 of the following paragraph, the chairperson must convene a special meeting if so directed by the minister. 3, the quorum for any meeting of the council is 3 councillors. Chair, on page 40, paragraph E, by the substitution in subsection 7 for subparagraph B of the following, B, a vacancy of the council, on the council, or C, the fact that any person was not entitled to sit as councillor at the time the decision was taken, and G, by the deletion in subsection 7 of paragraph D. say on page 41, section 13 is hereby amended by the substitution for subsections 1 and 2, the following subsections. 13.1, subject to section 8.6, the council may appoint one or more ad hoc committees consisting of A, one or more councillors, B, one or more councillors and one or more other persons, or C, one or more other persons to advise or assist the authority in relation to any matter referred to it by the council and to report on that matter to the council. Subsection 2, the council must establish committees representing different sectors, disciplines or interests in the private security industry to advise it regarding the regulation of the private security industry, provided that no remuneration or allowance as contemplated in section 8.6 may be paid to a member of a committee established in terms of the subsection. B, the substitution for subsection 4 of the following. 4, a committee must perform its functions subject to the provisions of this Act, the Levies Act, the Public Finance Management Act, and any terms of reference prescribed by the Council. C, the addition of the following subsection. 6, the Council must report to the Minister on the appointment of the committees and the costs pertaining to such appointment. Clause 14 amends section 14 of the Principal Act A by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following. 14.1, the Council must, through a transparent process, appoint in consultation with the Minister a director of the authority as well as 3 deputy directors who are A, citizens of the Republic and B, fit and proper persons with due regard to their qualifications, experience, conscientiousness and integrity to be entrusted with the responsibilities with regard to their respective offices. B, by the insertion of the subsection 1 of the following, 1A, appointments made under subsection 1 must be on such terms and conditions as may be determined by the Council and taking into account the principles relating to improvement of service delivery, quality of training and integrity as applicable to the public administration. 1B is inserted, the fixed establishment, the number and grading of posts of the authority must be approved by the Council in consultation with the Department of Public Service and Administration and with the concurrence of the Minister. 1C, the Minister must report the appointment of the Director and Deputy Directors to Parliament. C, by the substitution in subsection 2 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following. 2, the Director of the Authority must subject to subsection 1B. A, establish administrative structures and B, manage the day-to-day operations of the Authority. D, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph C of the following. C, ensure that the functions of the authority are performed in terms of this Act, the Levies Act and the Public Finance Management Act. E, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph F, the following. Prepare the strategic and annual performance plan of the authority in accordance with the Public Finance Management Act. And F, by the substitution of subsection 3, the director of the authority made in writing with the approval of the council delegate any of his or her powers and assign any of his or her duties to a staff member of the authority. G, by the insertion of the subsection 3A, the standing delegation made under subsection 3 must be reviewed annually by the council. H, by the substitution for paragraph A of the following, 4A, the director of the authority must appoint, subject to this act and to the general directions of the council, the staff of the authority that may be necessary to perform the work arising from or connected with the authority's functions in terms of this Act, the Levies Act and the Public Finance Management Act. Paragraph B of subsection 4 is deleted, and J, by the substitution of subsection 4 for paragraph C of the following. C, staff members of the authority, 1, may not have any financial interest in the private security industry, and 2, must successfully undergo such security clearance check conducted by the State Security Agency as may be determined by the Council if this is relevant in respect of their work. K, deletion of subsection 5 and amendment of subsection 6, the terms and conditions of service of the authority staff and their remuneration, allowance, subsidies and other service benefits must be determined by the Council in consultation with the Minister. M, addition of the following subsection, a vacancy in the offices of the director and deputy directors must be filled within 6 months. In the insertion of section 14A in the Act, disqualifications for appointment as director and deputy directors. 14A, a person may not be appointed as a director or deputy director if such person A is not a citizen of the Republic, B, one has a direct or indirect financial or personal interest in the private security industry, or two, represents or is a member of a body representing the interests of employers or employees in the private security industry or security officers or any security business. C is an unrehabilitated insolvent. E has not obtained such a security clearance by the state security agency as may have been determined by the minister. E has been convicted of a criminal offence or is subject to a pending criminal prosecution, or F is not a fit and proper person. Section 15 of the Principal Act is repealed, Chair. In clause 17 on page 47, the finances of the authority. 16.1, the authority is financed from A, registration fees, levies or monies from any legitimate source which have been accrued to the authority in terms of this Act, the Revenue Act or any other law, and B, money that may be appropriated by Parliament when necessary, appropriate and justifiable. Subsection 2, Chair, is deleted. Or substituted by the following on page 48, the Council must, subject to the Public Finance Management Act and section 16A, A, account for money received or paid on account of the authority, and B, cause the necessary accounting and other related records to be kept. 3, the records referred to in subsection 2B must be audited by the Auditor General. 4, the Director must report to the Council in respect of the financial affairs, including any investment account of the authority, on a monthly and quarterly basis, and as and when required. 5, the Council is the accounting authority for the authority. Clause 18, following section is inserted after section 16. Annual report 16.1, the Council must prepare and submit to the Minister through the accounting officer, designated by the Minister, an annual report in terms of section 551D of the Public Finance Management Act. 2, the annual report referred to in subsection 1 must include the following documents. A, the audited financial statements prepared in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. B, the Auditor General's report prepared in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. C, a report on the activities of the authority undertaken during the year to which the audit relates, including matters 1 referred to in sections 10, 1A, 26.9 and 32.4, 2 pertaining to the exemptions granted or refused and the reasons therefore, and 3 pertaining to any investment account of the authority, including any deposits or withdrawals and reasons therefore. 3, the director must publish, including in a medium accessible to the public, the annual report, financial statements and audit report on those statements once tabled in Parliament. Chair proposed that section 17, 18 and 19 of the present Act be deleted. And then, Chair, I think of more importance to the meeting is section 20, the amendments thereto, it's on page 51. Section 20 is amended by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following. 1A, no person except the security service contemplated in section 199 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996 may in any manner render a security service for remuneration, reward, a fee or benefit unless such a person is registered as a security service provider in terms of this Act. B, a security service contemplated in section 199 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996 may use persons employed by them and who are not registered as security service providers to render a security service. C, a security business may not use the services of a person who is not registered in terms of this Act to render a security service. B, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph A of the following, page 52, A, if all the persons performing executive or managing functions in terms in respect of such security business are registered as security service providers, unless such person is exempted in terms of this Act. C, by the addition of the following paragraph. C, if at least 51% of the ownership and control is exercised by South African citizens. And D, by the insertion of the subsection 2 of the following subsections. 2A, despite subsection 2C, the minister may, taking into account the security interests of the Republic, prescribe by regulation a different percentage of ownership and control in respect of different categories of security businesses contemplated in section 21A. 2B, the minister must prescribe by regulation the verification of ownership and control of security businesses. 2C, any regulation contemplated in subsection 2A or B must be published in the Gazette for public comments and be submitted to the National Assembly for approval before promulgation. Chair, there are also transitional provisions that relate to this specific section, especially subsection paragraph C and also 2A. Page 53, by the substitution for subsection 5 of the following, the Minister may, after taking into consideration the recommendations of the Exemption Advisory Committee, referred to in section 28, by noticing the Gazette exempt A, any security or exempt any security service provider or security service provider belonging to a category or class specified in the notice, either generally or subject to such conditions as may be specified in the notice, from the operation of any provision of this Act, or B, service, activity, practice, equipment, person or entity from any provision of this Act, as long as it does not prejudice the achievement of the objects of this Act. 6. The Minister must take a decision within 90 days of receipt of the application for exemption contemplated in this Act, and in the case of refusal, provide the applicant with reasons within 30 days of the date of receipt of request for reasons. Then it's proposed that section 20A be inserted, it's clause 21, Exemption Advisory Committee. 20A1, the Exemption Advisory Committee is hereby established. 2, the committee consists of representatives of A, authority, B, civilian secretariat, C, Department of Home Affairs, D, service, E, Department of Trade and Industry, and F, State Security Agency, appointed by the Minister. 3, the representative of the Sovereign Secretariat must be a legally qualified person and must chair the committee. 4, the committee must make recommendations to the Minister in respect of exemptions referred to in section 25. 5, the Minister may prescribe procedural matters and the factors to be considered in relation to the function of the committee referred to in subsection 4. 6, the regulations referred to in subsection 5 must be tabled in the National Assembly for scrutiny and adoption within 6 months of promulgation of the Act, and B, thereafter at least 30 days before promulgation of the regulations, while it is in session or after the commencement of the next ensuing session. On page 55, Chair, amendment of section 21 by clause 32, substitution for subsection 1, paragraph B, the application fee as determined by the Council, and B, a certified copy of a valid identity document of a person referred to in paragraph A. That is requirements for the application for registration. Page 56, BB, a design sketch of a photograph of the security service provider's insignia, emblem, title or symbol, whether on a uniform, vehicle or otherwise, and BC, a color sketch or photograph of the security service provider's uniform. Insertion of section 21, that's by through clause 33. Categories of security businesses, 21A. The authority may register a security business meeting the requirements in sections 21 and 23 under any or more of the following categories: A, guarding; B, close protection; C, response security; D, assets in transit; E, event security; and F, the manufacturers, importers, and distributors of listed equipment defined in the Deception of Communications and Provision of Communication Related Information Act; G, private investigators; H, security training; I, Electronic Security, J, Locksmiths, or K, Security Advisors. Two, the Minister may, by notice in the Gazette, determine additional categories of security businesses. Three, the Authority must determine training standards in respect of the categories referred to in Subsection 1. Four, the notice referred to in Subsection 2 must be tabled in Parliament for notification within 14 days if Parliament is in session, or D, 14 days after the next ensuing session if Parliament is not in session. Clause 24 on page 57, Chair, Section 22 of the Principal Act that's substituted for the following. 22.1, the Minister must prescribe through regulations procedures in respect of the renewal of registration by security service providers and the conditions and requirements for the granting of such applications. 2A, the registered security service provider must apply for the renewal of the relevant category of registration within the period determined by the Minister by notice in the Gazette. B, different periods may be determined in terms of paragraph 8 in respect of different categories of security businesses for registration. C, if an application for the renewal of registration has been lodged within the period contemplated in subsection 2, the registration remains valid until the application is decided. 3, an application for renewal of registration contemplated in subsection 1 must, in addition to any requirement in terms of this act, be accompanied by A, a certified copy of the existing registration certificate, and B, such other information as may be prescribed. For the registration of any security service provider who fails to apply for the renewal of registration before the end of the period determined by the Minister in terms of subsection 2, that's the subject to compliance of section 2.5. 5, the authority must process an application for renewal within 6 months of receipt thereof. Said on page 59, clause 25, amends section 23, A, by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph C of the following. C has complied with the relevant prescribed training in respect of any particular category referred to in section 21A. B, by the substitution in subsection 1 for the following. D was not found guilty of an offence specified in the schedule. Then on at the bottom of page 59, the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph H of the following. H is not currently employed in the public administration in circumstances which such registration may conflict with the legislative provision applicable to the applicant. And D, by the deletion in subsection 2 of the word and at the end of the paragraph, the insertion of the words and before the full stop and at the end of paragraph B and the addition of the following paragraph, that is C, such security business furnishes information on the nature, scope and activities of the security business with reference to the categories referred to in section 21, capital A1. E, by the substitution for subsection 4 and 5 of the following, the authority may refuse the registration of any person who at the time of submission or consideration of the application is under state investigation in respect of an offence specified in the schedule or has been criminally prosecuted in respect of such an offence. 5, despite any provision to the contrary, a person in the permanent employ of the service, state security agency, the South African National Defence Force, or the Department of Correctional Services may not be registered as a security service provider while so employed. Okay, then on page 62, clause 26, section 26 of the Principal Act is amended by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following, 26.1, the authority must suspend the registration of a security service provider if there is a prima facie case of A, improper conduct in terms of this Act, or B, the commission of an offence referred to in the schedule. B, the insertion of the subsection 1 of the following. The authority may suspend the registration of security service provider if A, the security service provider fails to comply with the obligation to pay the levy in terms of section 4 of the Levies Act, or B, the security service provider fails to comply with any other provision of this Act. 1B, the registration of security service provider may be suspended subject to the provisions of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act of 2000. See by the substitution for subsections 2 and 3 of the following. 2. The authority may suspend the registration of a security business if on any grounds contemplated in subsection 1 pertain to a person referred to in section 20, brackets 2. 3. The effect of a suspension of registration is that the security service provider whose registration is suspended by not rendering any security service, but during the period of such suspension, the security service provider is still bound by all the obligations of a registered security service provider provided for in this Act and in the Levies Act. D. By the substitution in subsection 4 for the words preceding paragraph A. 4. The authority must, subject to sections 5.3 and the provisions of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, Act No. 3 of 2000, withdraw the registration of the security service provider by written notice served on the security service provider. If, and E. Substitution in subsection 4, paragraph A. A. The security service provider has furnished to the authority information in connection with the application for registration, which is false. On page 64, Chair, F. The substitution for subsection 5. Subject to the provisions of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act 3 of 2000, the registration of the security service provider lapses if A. It is not renewed as contemplated in section 22, or B. The amount payable for levies in terms of section 2 of the Levies Act is not paid to the authority within 3 months of the date of suspension of the registration of the security service provider concerned, unless the authority determine otherwise. C. By the insertion of the subsection 5 of the following subsection, page 65 of the document, 5A, if the registration of a security service provider has lapsed in terms of subsection 5, the authority must publish a notice in the Gazette indicating A. The name of the security service provider, B. The period after which the registration has lapsed, C. The reason for the lapsing of registration, and D. The effect of the lapsing of registration. In H of page 65, by the addition of the following subsections, subsection 9, the authority through the council must report any suspension or withdrawal of registration made in terms of subsection 7 and any upliftment of suspension or of registration made in terms of subsection 8 to the minister within 30 days of the suspension, withdrawal or of upliftment. 10. The authority must include any report referred to in subsection 9 in its annual report. Chair, at the bottom of page 66, amendment of section 28. Going over to 67, section 28 is amended by the substitution for subsection 2 of the following. 2. The code of conduct is legally binding on all security service providers to the extent provided for in this Act, on every person using his or her own employees to protect or safeguard merely his or her own property or other interests or persons or property on his or her premises or under his or her control. Chair, on page 68, no amendments, page 69, clause 28. Section 30 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the substitution in subsection 2 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following. An appeal committee contemplated in subsection 1 is appointed by the minister and consists of A, the person with not less than 5 years' experience as an attorney, advocate or magistrate, who is a presiding officer, and may also include by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph, may also include 2 other persons if considered appropriate by the minister. And C is the insertion of 2A. An appeal committee is appointed to function on a part-time basis for a period not exceeding 3 years on such terms and conditions as determined by the minister. B. A member of the appeal committee may resign by notice in writing to the minister. And D is a substitution for subsection 4 and 5, the following. Sub 4. The procedure in connection with the lodging and prosecution of an appeal in terms of this section must be prescribed by the minister through regulations. Sub 5. The amounts payable by an appellant to the authority in respect of the reproduction of records and related matters in the lodging and prosecution of an appeal must be prescribed by the Minister through the regulations. E, by the addition of the following subsection. 8, all costs related to the appeals procedure must be borne by the authority. Here on page 72, amendment of section 31 by through clause 29, it's the amendment of through the substitution of subsection 5 of the following. 5A, the director may, if it's considered necessary in the circumstances, to acquire special expertise or to augment the capacity of the authority temporarily, appoint any person who is not in the full-time employment of the authority to assist an inspector with a particular inspection. B, any appointment made in terms of paragraph A must be reported on quarterly by the council to the minister and must be included in the annual report referred to in section 16A. Page 73, Chair, clause 30, which amends section 32 by the addition of the following subsection, insertion of subsection 4. The authority must include information on any penalties imposed under subsection 3 in the annual report. Page 74, Chair, is clause 31. Section 34 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution of subsection 1A for the words preceding subparagraph 1. A, without prior notice, subject to subsection 6, enter any premises, Roman 1, occupied by or used in connection with the rendering of security service, and then Roman 2, which the director has reason to believe are occupied by or used in connection with the rendering of security service. In sub B, by the substitution in subsection 1 for subparagraph 3, paragraph A of the following, sub 3, for page 75, where or from where the security service is rendered, or the director has reason to believe that such service is rendered. Here we can then go on to page 78, C, by the substitution in subsection 3 for paragraph B of the following, B, an inspector may use the powers in terms of this subsection only to serve the purposes of this act. And D, by the addition of the following subsection, 6, an inspection of private buildings may only be carried out when authorized by a warrant issued by a competent court. Chair, relating to the regulations, chapter 6, page 79, section 35 of the Principal Act is hereby substituted for the following, 35.1, the minister may make regulations relating to any matter which A, in terms of this act is required or permitted to be prescribed, and B, generally is necessary or expedient to prescribe for the attainment or greater attainment of the objects of this act or performance of the functions of the authority. 1A, the minister must make regulations relating to A, the requirements in respect of the infrastructure and capacity necessary for a security business to render a security service. B, the registration by the authority of security service providers, including the procedures in relation to the suspension, withdrawal and lapsing of registration. C, the procedures in respect of renewal of registration and the conditions upon which such applications are to be granted. D, the obligatory undergoing of security training by security service providers in respect of different categories referred to in section 21A1. E, ensuring the quality of training as contemplated in section 4N or any other law in respect of security service providers and prospective security service providers. EA, guidelines in respect of insignia, emblem, title or symbol, whether on a uniform, vehicle or otherwise. F, registration and identification certificates of security service providers. G, the types of uniforms, insignia, emblem, title, symbol, distinctive badges or buttons which may not be supplied to, used or worn by a security service provider. Page 1, the procedure for the institution and conduct of improper conduct proceedings or any other required in terms of this act. 2, the appointment, powers and duties of presiding officers and other officials in respect of such proceedings or any other inquiry in terms of this act. 3, the attendance by a security service provider or any witness of improper conduct proceedings or any other inquiry in terms of this act. 4, cost orders with regard to improper conduct proceedings. 5, the procedure for the payment and collection of fines imposed in respect of improper conduct. 6, competent findings and other appropriate orders in respect of improper conduct. 7, the confirmation, review or substitution of any finding, punishment or other order contemplated in paragraph 6 or the setting aside thereof by the authorities. I, the establishment, management and functioning of a guarantee fund for the private security industry. J, the establishment and operation of a complaints office as contemplated in section 4R. K, the compulsory keeping of records and documents concerning the management, administration and other matters relating to the rendering of security service, and the format for keeping the records and documents, including the premises where the records and documents must be kept available. L, the types of information which security service providers must furnish to the authority. In the new insertion LA, the types of information which security service providers must furnish to the authority in rendering a security service outside the authority. M, the issuing, possession and use of firearms and other weapons by security service providers. N, the safekeeping and disposal of records, documents and other objects seized in terms of this Act. O, the training, registration, use, treatment, transportation and general care of working animals by security service providers and other persons who employ security officers in or in connection with rendering the security service, as well as the registration of training centers with regard to. P, the information to be furnished by security businesses to consumers or prospective consumers of security services. Q, the advertising of the services of security service providers and of security equipment. R, the use of certain types of equipment by security service providers in the rendering of security service. S, the manufacture, importation, selling, distribution and possession of security equipment. SA, minimum standards applicable to security service providers responsible for the safe transportation of cash or goods of high value, including precious metals or jewelry. SB, minimum standards for the provision of security services at national key points, as referred to in Section 1 of the National Key Points Act, 1980, Act No. 102 of 1980. T, the limited engaging by the authority of the services of consultants when it is necessary to make use of such services. In subsection 2, different regulations may be made in terms of subsection 1 or 1A with reference to different categories or classes of security service providers. 3, regulations made in terms of subsection 1 or 1A may, in respect of any contravention thereof or failure to comply therewith, prescribed as a penalty, a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years. 4, the minister must, after consultation with the council, issue guidelines or policies in relation to the governance of the authority within 6 months of the commencement of this Act, thereafter as and when required. 5, any regulation made under this section must be tabled in Parliament for consideration. And on page 83, Chair, clause 33, section 36 of the Act is amended by the substitution for the heading of the following provision of information. Section 36 D, by the addition of the following subsections. 3, the authority must inform the registrar as defined in section 1 of the Firearms Control Act 2000 at the time of any new registration, suspension, sale, transfer, liquidation, merger, lapsing or termination of the registration of ownership of a security service provider or any other material change or reason that will necessitate the licensing, relicensing or disposal of a firearm in the possession of such security service provider. 4, the registrar mentioned in subsection 3 must, at the written request of the director, submit a list of all firearms registered to a particular security service provider to the authority within 30 days of the request being made. 5, the authority must report to Parliament in respect of information provided by the authority to the registrar in terms of subsection 3. Clause 34, the following section is hereby inserted after section 36. Security services rendered outside the Republic. 36A, any person who within the Republic recruits, trains, hires out, sends or deploys any other person to provide a security service outside the Republic must A, provide to the director on a quarterly basis such information as prescribed regarding such recruitment, training, hiring out, sending or deployment or nature of security service, in the prescribed time limits, and B, comply with the provisions of this Act. To a person referred to in subsection 1 may not engage in any activity or render any assistance that is prohibited in terms of the prohibition of mercenary activities and regulation of certain activities in country of Armed Conflict Act 2006 or the regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act 1998. See, any person who A is employed by another person from outside the Republic and employed from the Republic to perform armed guarding services outside the Republic must at least 2 weeks before the deployment inform the authority of such deployment in the prescribed manner. For the information referred in subsection 3 must be submitted by the authority to the State Security Agency within 7 days of receipt of the notification. Here on page 86, clause 35, section 38 is amended, A, by the substitution in subsection 1, paragraph B. B, interferes with, resists, obstructs, hinders or delays an inspector, any other person lawfully accompanying an inspector or a member of the service in the performance of any function in terms of this Act or the Levies Act, is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years or to both a fine and such imprisonment. And on page 86b, the reason in subsection 2 of the word or at the end of paragraph 8, the insertion of or at the end of paragraph B, and then share the insertion of paragraph D1, allows the use of any insignia, emblem, title or symbol, whether on the uniform or vehicle or otherwise, or 2, allows the use of any uniform which corresponds or can be confused with any uniform, insignia, emblem, title or symbol used by the South African National Defence Force, the South African Police Service or the Municipal Police Service. And here on page 88C, the substitution in subsection 3.1 for subparagraphs 1, 2 and 3 of the following. 1. In the case of a natural person on a first conviction of a contravention referred to in paragraph A, E, F, G and H, is liable to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years, or to both a fine and such imprisonment, and in the case of a juristic person to a fine. 2. In the case of a natural person on a second or subsequent conviction of a contravention referred to in paragraph A, E, F, G and H, is liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years, or to both a fine and such imprisonment, and in the case of a juristic person to a fine. In the case of a natural person on conviction of a contravention referred to in paragraph B, C, D, or I, is liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 24 months, or to both a fine and such imprisonment, and in the case of a juristic person, to a fine. D is the insertion of the following subsection, 3A. Any person who fails to comply with the provision of section 36A1 or 3 is guilty of an offence and liable. A, in the case of a natural person on the first conviction, to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years, or to both a fine and such imprisonment, and in the case of a juristic person, to a fine. Or B, in the case of a natural person on a second or subsequent conviction, to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 15 years, or to both a fine and such imprisonment, and in the case of a juristic person, to a fine. Section 39 of the Principal Act is the field chair, that's the extraterritorial jurisdiction. And then on page 90, section 41 of the Principal Act is repealed. The chair is on page 93. The transitional provisions inserted by the insertion of section 44A into the Act continues on page 94. 44A, the Section Amendment Act means the Private Security Industry Regulation Amendment Act 2013. 2A, any category or class of security service providers which was not obliged to be registered as such in terms of this Act, immediately before the commencement of the Amendment Act, will not be subject to the provisions of this Act or the Levies Act until such date as the Minister may determine by notice in the Gazette. B, from the date of commencement of the Amendment Act, all new applications for registration must be made in accordance with the requirements of the Amendment Act. CA notice contemplated paragraph A may specify different dates in respect of different categories of classes of security service providers and must be published at least 180 days before any such date specified herein. C. The Minister must, within a period of 2 years from the commencement of the Amendment Act, make regulations that must be made under this Act as amended by the Amendment Act. For the Chairperson and Councillors who have been appointed before the commencement of the Amendment Act shall remain in these positions until their services have been terminated in terms of the provisions of this Act, provided that such Chairperson and Councillors must obtain a security clearance to the level required by the Minister, if not yet acquired before the commencement of the Act. 5. Should the Minister reappoint any Councillor who is serving at the time when the Amendment Act commences, the total period of the contract of such a Councillor remains when the original appointment is taken into account, not exceed 7 years, and such Councillor must contribute to the requirement of Section 6(3) of the Act. 6. Subject to Subsection 4, the commencement of the Amendment Act, all members of the Council may only serve on a part-time basis. 7. The Secretary for the Council must be appointed within 6 months of the commencement of the Amendment Act, and until the appointment of such Secretary, the Director must ensure that the necessary secretarial services are provided to the Council. 8. As from the date of commencement of the Amendment Act, the post of the Director and the Deputy Directors must be filled in accordance with Section 14 and taking into account Section 14A of the Act, but the current incumbents of the respective posts will continue to hold office until the respective posts are filled in terms of Section 14. 9. The Exemption Advisory Committee, as contemplated in Section 28, must be appointed by the Minister before the commencement of the Amendment Act. 10. An Appeal Committee, as contemplated in Section 32A of the Act, must be appointed before the commencement of the Amendment Act. 11. A regulation that prohibits the use of any uniform, insignia, emblem, title, symbol, distinctive badge or button used by the security service providers which was not in contravention of the Act must provide for a reasonable period, which period may not be less than 18 months from the promulgation of such regulation, for the phasing out of the use of a particular uniform, insignia, emblem, title, symbol, distinctive badge or other buttons. 12. On page 96, the fixed establishment of the authority referred to in Section 14(1)(b) must be determined within 24 months of the commencement of the Amendment Act, and the Minister must report any delay in the process to Parliament. 13. The authority through the Council must submit quarterly progress reports to the Minister on its readiness and progress made in terms in respect of the implementation of the Levies Act and the renewal of registration. 14. The Minister must report on a quarterly basis to Parliament on the progress made in the implementation of the Amendment Act. 15. The implementation of Section 20TC with regard to a security business that is registered as a security service provider at the commencement of the Amendment Act must be done in accordance with legislation promoting and protecting investment in the Republic and the Republic's international trade obligations. In this regard, there is also a document we have made available. It's a draft bill that was that was published for comments by the Department of Trade and Industry. It's a promotion and protection of investment bill. And that section must be understood within the context of the legislation that will also be promoted later on. So in other words, the principles that will be laid down by the Department of Trade and Industry have to comply with the international law and international obligations of the Republic. And that will be captured in terms of issues like arbitration, etc., in trade and industry legislation. So then all that is left is the schedule of offences. And I can really mention here that we have just added here new legislation or legislation where the names have changed. If you look at page 99 of the document, any offence in terms of the provision of mercenary activities and regulation of certain activities in the country of armed conflict act, and then also B, any offence in terms of the regulation of interception of communications, it's also that act's name, and then what has been inserted, any offence of trafficking in persons as defined in Section 1 of the Prevention and Combating of Trafficking in Persons Act, which was adopted last year. is any offence of torture as defined in the Prevention and Combating of Torture of Persons Act 2013, which was also adopted last year. And then we've inserted any offence referred to in Part 1 or Part 2 of Schedule 1 to the implementation of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court Act, which was adopted in 2002, and then any offence in terms of the Explosives Act 2003, Act No. 15 of 2003. Chair, what's left is the short title and commencement on page 100. The Act is called the Private Security Industry Regulation Amendment Act and comes into operation on a date determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. Chair, relating to the memorandum of objects, I think I've covered all those issues in the first presentation, so I don't think it's necessary to go through that part. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Honourable members. Any comment? Honourable Zamanda?
Got it. Thank you, Chair. And I thank you, Chair, that we proceeded. I hope Jacques now see the value for this for that process, that tedious process that we engaged upon, Chair. Because I guess he forgot that the commandos are affected, neighborhood watches are affected by this regulation, and even private security service that we hire privately and all of that. So, and it's quite comprehensive, Chair, but notably there are issues that I guess when we engage with the bill would have to be clarified. There's a usage of terms and words. I'm not sure whether they're interchangeable. For instance, to make an example. Towards the latter part of the presentation, they're using Parliament, but the former part they've been referring to National Assembly. I think it's a matter that might have to be clarified. There's also the usage of security business. I look for it when I read, but maybe that's a matter that one is just noting. The usage of security business and service provider, in my view, this, I think we need to, it's something that we need to carefully look at per se. And the authority and the council, it's kept used, so I hope it, all of those things would have to be properly specified, and I'm raising those things, Chair, because generally it's where the courts have problems. When we write things and we mean something else somewhere else, and for them, when matters are brought before them, then they find problem to interpret. What is referred to when on one hand you say authority, in the other council, in the other you say service provider, and for instance, what I'm tackling with, Chair, is a security officer is a service provider. Or service provider is also referred to a company or business as such. And then, the other thing that I'm just also noting is like the issue of I think it's an area that, and we hope that the other difficulty now is that when they raised an issue that there's no state law advisors today because even the NA hasn't completed the bill. So in a way, I think that leaves us in a bit of a situation, Chair, that we are considering the bill, but already there are documents that are presented that come from the portfolio committee per se. So, as such, it might be, if we amend the site, what's going to happen to the bin? It's a question that, technical question that one might have. Well, if the portfolio committee hasn't passed the bill, which is what I might be wrong. I might have heard wrong, so that I heard that it's not completely with us. It's with us, but it's not completed by the portfolio committee. If that can be clarified properly, Chair, for me as well. Maybe let me hold it here, Chair.
Honourable Chairman, thank you. I'd first like to respond to Honourable Louis' remarks, and time is not a factor if it's used economically. My problem is I'm past 70 and I've only got a short time to be here, so I don't like to spill time. I like to use every moment and every minute. Otherwise, I like to make the thing is about this bill. I'm worried about the powers that the minister got. Everything is referring to the minister, and the minister is all the way. I'm not sure if this is going to practical will be working and will be result in a good relationship, but everything is a way off where many things can happen. And the other thing that worries me is this 51% of local ownership that is asked here. Thank you.
Honorable Kunda.
First, I just need a question of clarity. Do we need to accept today? Are we still going to debate this thing? We're still going to debate it. Then, Chair, I'll reserve my questions because I need to ask that time on the debate issues because I've got a few issues. Clarity, and I've got a lot of questions. Thank you, Chair.
You can respond to the questions, but this was off.
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you very much. At this point in time, no justification has been given with the limitation on the 51%. And I'd just like to find out what the national threat is with regard to that limitation on the 51%. Thank you.
You can respond. Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to say that there's a lot of amendments involved. But a lot of them are more technical of nature. I think the observation has been made. When CIRA became a public entity, the whole, I would say, scheme within which it is regulated has changed to a large extent. It involves the Public Finance Management Act, it involves the Auditor General, etc. So a lot of these changes that are made is really to align to that situation. And you will find that's why the definitions are changed, etc. So a lot of this is really cosmetic changes in order to align with the present situation of being a public entity. On the issue of the bill, the important sections, of course, the issue of private ownership was an issue that was discussed at length in the portfolio committee. And I can just say we have made a document available. Members will see if it's titled the briefing note. In that briefing note, we have really set out the recognition to other jurisdictions and security interests and security concerns, the position in the United States, the United Kingdom, and a lot of countries, including African countries, where the issue of security interests played a role in terms of foreign ownership. So, Chair, I think before we go into a broad discussion on that issue, I think it will be worthwhile if that document could maybe be read, and we can maybe interact on that document in terms of the motivation. That was actually after The bill was referred back to the portfolio committee. We presented that document at the just before the there was an election on final voting on the bill. Chair, I think otherwise that if we take other small things that relates to the appointment of deputy directors and the role of the minister was also referred to. I think we must realize that the minister is held accountable for CIRA to a large extent. He's been made accountable not as accounting officer but on a political level. And the police service as such is not really involved in CIRA directly. And so there must be mechanisms for the minister to be sure that what is happening in CIRA, that he has some control over it and that he's also involved in some of the decision-making processes like the senior appointments, etc. within CIRA. So I also think that there is not a total change in that regard. The minister already has quite a number of powers in respect of CIRA in order to be able to account to Parliament in terms of that. But here you will also see that a number of these changes relate to the reporting that must be done, and the reason why it is through the council to the minister, because the minister must account in Parliament, it must be through the council because the council is the accounting authority in terms of the legislation. And also in terms of other bodies, we think it's also correct that the council is the accounting authority for CIRA, because they are overall in charge on a broader management level. And they must see that everything goes according to the book in terms of bookkeeping, in terms of everything that happens in CIRA. Chair, as a provisional comment, I think that is really as far as I can take it at this stage, but I'm sure that in the next briefing, if members had a chance to study it, and I realize it's a lot of technical amendments which fits in, and one has to see the sequence and also where it fits in exactly into the existing Act. But I think you will notice a lot of these really technical amendments, and the big issue is the issue about the appointments. The issue about the foreign ownership is really had been in the public eye. And then, of course, from the police service side, we have asked for a number of issues to be inserted in the Act. You will see there's issues relating to the uniforms, the abuse of uniforms that can be confused with that of the police service and the defense force, even with vehicles. There are already regulations pertaining to these issues, but we found it necessary. And then, of course, the other pertinent point was the deployment of South Africans. We are also now faced with the issue of defense in respect of anti-piracy in the Horn of Africa and elsewhere, where security people are deployed from South Africa with firearms, etc. That's where the strengthening of the control of firearms is also relevant. So, Chair, I think apart from the technical amendments, those are really the points where the real amendments are in terms of the foreign ownership and the security services delivered outside the Republic from the Republic. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to clarify the use of the word security officer, security service provider, for the purposes of the Honourable Gentleman. Chair, the definition of security service provider includes both a security service, security officer, as well as a security business. So where it relates, the provisions relates to specifically security officers, reference is made to security officer, and where it relates to a security company, reference is made to a security company. But in terms of the total regulation of both the entity as well as the natural person, we refer to them as a security service provider.
Any further amendments? Well, let me take the opportunity to thank Mr. Jacob and his team, and we hope that we'll have another opportunity to engage further when the members have perused the
the documents, and that you will be available to come and clarify issues that will be raised. Thank you very much. Honorable members, system brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.